97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Like show business, like no business I know.
Welcome into Second Amendment Radio of the Great Outdoors. I am Mark Cox, in here along with Carl Middleman, of course.
Hi, everyone.
Yeah, and we are honored to have Annie Fry along with us this week, filling in for Mr. Beau Matthews.
Yay! Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here. Yeah, Carl picked theme music accordingly.
Like always, this is Annie Get Your Gun.
Yeah, nice. You are like masterclass referential about all things entertainment. And yes. I am applying for preschool. So I am like culturally in the entertainment world. I am just not there.
Well, this is Second Amendment Radio, yes, and the Great Outdoors. So
is that what this is?
Annie, Get Your Gun is very appropriate today.
Sure.
It's all about the themes, Mark.
It is. And yeah, it is a little later in the show. By the way, we are going to talk about ghosts. We're going to talk about
the show. It's
ghost
amazing.
Animals. We're going to talk about ghost guns at some point. So we're looking forward to that. So stick around. We got a great show for you today, particularly about some very hard to find animals in the specifically that have been spotted somewhere in the state of Missouri.
I've seen one of these animals on the way back from Florida. Annie, you know where it was. And therefore, I saw it and we thought it was like a Harry Potter Patronus because it was a white animal walking across the highway, and my wife and I and the friend that we were driving back with, what was that? So
could have been like
kind of makes you
like
wonder
Bigfoot.
If you really saw it.
That,
you look at each other,
but
and
all
you
three of us are like,
"Did you see that?"
So, mm-hmm. And there are some in Missouri now.
Yeah, good stuff. Glad to have you in here, though. You and I have been big gun fans for a long time, right?
Yeah, I've been in a couple scenarios in my life where I might have needed one, and fortunately it didn't materialize where it needed to happen. But here in the city of St. Louis in 2012, I was 7.5 months pregnant. It was 4:15 in the afternoon. Cardinals game, day game had just gotten out, and I was getting gas at the gas station just south of the Taco Bell downtown St. Louis, and I got carjacked. And I don't know where people,
that's the one with no attendant,
the one with no attendant.
Yes.
I don't go to that one anymore, but I mean, I've replayed that a million times in my head and thought about it, and have since had to pick a person out of a lineup from it. I identified the person who the detectives thought was the suspect in my case, and I've seen that man's rap sheet, and there's a lot of gun-related crime and a lot of robbery and jail time that is spent, and the truth is in another scenario, I might not have been as lucky as I was to walk away unscathed. I lost my car, I lost everything that was in it, but
wow.
I had my life, my baby's life, and honestly, my baby saved my life because I'm a little precocious from time to time, and maybe a little irrational in the moment.
No, we never see that around here.
No,
ever.
I keep that off.
Now,
the
thank
air.
You. We appreciate that.
That's only my private life, or if I'm being carjacked. But I was 7.5 months pregnant, and I had it was April, and I had the windows down. It was like one of those first beautiful April spring days. So I had the car windows down on the driver's side and the passenger side, and the fuel tank was on the passenger side, so I was fueling up over there, and the guy jumped in my car from the other side. I leaned into the passenger side. I was screaming at him to get out of my car, which is stupid, because I was like halfway in the car yelling at him, and he drove away. He didn't attack me or pull me in. He could have. And in what seemed like an enormous amount of time, but was probably a grand total of maybe 12 to 15 seconds, I realized there was another man in the car that pulled up on the other side of the tank, of the pump, I should say. So there was another party here that could push me in or could hurt me or something. And he could drive off and I'd be half in, and I'm pregnant. I've got a life growing inside of me. I had to back off. And I think that might have kept me from going too far in that moment.
Well, and this was 10 years ago. They just started like publicizing this like 4 or 5 months ago that this started up again.
Yeah.
Right.
A lot more than
well,
it did.
Well, you're lucky it happened in 2012. They prosecuted in that case. Now we have a prosecutor in the city that just ignores things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So you might not have even been able to, needed to go identify somebody in a lineup.
You know, I think the interesting thing, too, about being somebody, especially if for people who are unfamiliar with me, I live in the state of Illinois. We have every possible roadblock that can be put up in between the individual and their Second Amendment rights. Those regulations and roadblocks exist. But the thing that I learned after that particular instance was, you know, I was freaking out because he had my purse, he had my wallet, he had my
address,
my kids, pictures of my children and everything.
The locks.
And the detectives, we did change the locks, but the detectives were like, we understand why you're freaked out about this, but we're going to be honest. They stole your car. If you had $20 in your car and something that they could sell at the pawn shop so that they could get their next fix. That's what they wanted.
They're not going to your house.
And they don't care about you. They don't care about your car. They don't care about your things. They want what they can access immediately in your car. And they are willing to do whatever it takes to get that. And if they are that, if these criminals are that not concerned with what would happen to my life, that's why I want a gun.
Exactly.
That's why I need to know. That's why I have my conceal and carry permit. As hard as Illinois makes it, as expensive as Illinois has made it, that's why for me, it's important that I can protect myself because there are too many people out there who have zero value for life. I value my life. I valued at the time the life that was growing inside of me. I value the lives of my family, and I will happily use that gun if that means that I protect myself and the people in my life.
And speaking of those challenges, we're going to talk to Richard Pearson from the Illinois State Rifle Association a little later, and I'm sure that he's got plenty of stories like that where people have suddenly found themselves motivated to protect themselves.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, there are entities like the Illinois Rifle Association that are fighting against the machine in the state of Illinois, but that's a huge machine, and it is a relentless machine, and it is a well-funded, well-oiled machine. But there, I mean, in our vocal reach right now, there's a lot of Second Amendment supporters in the state of Illinois.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of them.
Well, and I'm glad to hear that too, right? Because here's the thing about it. The beauty of the Second Amendment is that they also have a lot of court victories, which is why you have the rights you have in Illinois, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where they had to force them to start allowing people to get concealed carry a few years ago. They had to go to court to do that.
Yeah.
In America.
It's really upside down. In the state of Illinois, we do have a Second Amendment. We do actually, folks in Illinois, just a reminder, we do get to partake in the same constitution that the free folks in Missouri do. That document does apply to us as well. But the machine, like I was saying, has been well greased for a long time. And it is important to get to know who's fighting those legal battles in the state of Illinois. And if you can, support them.
Sure.
Because they're fighting on the behalf of all of us.
Yeah, we'll tell you a little more about how you can support the Illinois Rifle Association. Who do you work with in Illinois?
I really, really used to be partners on the show with STS Armory in Pontude Beach.
Mm-hmm.
And, we'd love to have them come back on the show, but they're great people, Katie and Jesse there. It's super easy to get to on 111 right off of 270, and they really know their stuff. And I've had several people in my personal life who have gone to STS, and some of them are collectors. They know exactly what they want.
Yep.
They walk in and there it is. This is what I want. Can you get it for me? Yes, go. But I've also gone with a family member who has never bought a handgun before, had a rifle that was his dad's, who's long past, you know, that was shoot groundhogs with it on the farm.
Right.
But they wanted a handgun because the world is we're in a situation where it might be good to have a handgun around and to know how to use it. But didn't feel comfortable, almost felt a little intimidated to walk into a gun store and be like, I don't know, I need a gun. It's a pretty broad question, but if you don't know what you're talking about, you need to go to someone you can trust. And Katie and Jesse at STS, they respect that person for coming in, and they will walk you through the whole process in Illinois, because it is a process.
That's true.
It's unfortunate.
It's true. We're going to talk about deer hunting coming up here shortly.
Illinois is still shotgun only, right, for deer? I think I talked to Jared about that recently.
I feel like, I don't want to give false information, that potentially there might be a rifle that has been introduced to the
scenario. Oh, really? Okay,
maybe.
Interesting. I don't know. So
a
maybe
teaser
things have
for
changed.
The next time I'm on the show.
Yeah, I did go deer hunting in Illinois a few years back, and yeah. I remember at that point it was shotgun only. So, but
what about bow? Since Bo's not here, can you bow hunt?
You can.
Illinois?
I'm sure you can.
The
they
deer that's
that.
In our yeah. freezer right now was a bow deer. So, yeah.
Nice.
Good.
What's your favorite part of venison? Do you enjoy it yourself?
Deer sausage is as far as I go.
Is that about it?
Yeah.
Yeah. I get it.
We have a lot of that in the freezer.
Welcome to KMOX on this first day of May.
Yeah.
This is your first time on KMOX.
As far as I know. Yeah. I think they used to stream my show during Cardinals day games. And people. And the only reason I know that is because people on Twitter are like, who's this Annie Fry person? I'm trying to listen to Rush Limbaugh or something at the time. I'm like, hi. Just give it a try.
That's great. That's great. Lucky to have Annie Fry with us from the Annie Fry Show at 97.1, noon to 3 every day. And, of course, you can hear me in the mornings there on 97.1 as well. Filling in today for the vacationing Bo Matthews, who will be back with us.
He's on
next
11
week.
To 2 on KMOX on St. Louis Talks.
Absolutely. Coming up, there's been a rare sighting. Somebody actually caught it on video, something you don't see very often.
A Republican in Illinois.
Could have been that. That could have been it. I'm talking about wildlife in this case in somewhere in Missouri. We're going to be back on Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Song to bring us back in here on the Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Mark Cox along with you. Of course, as I mentioned earlier, Bo Matthews has the weekend off, and we got Annie Fry to fill in with us today. Thank
super
you.
Super glad to be here. Like I said, I can't do the Bo Matthews thing, but I'll try my hardest to not screw up the Annie Fry thing.
Oh, it's great. We love having you on here. You know, Ghostbusters, we're talking about, we've heard stories about things called ghost guns. Have you ever heard of a ghost deer?
Apparently, I don't like those.
Apparently, that's a problem in some places. Actually, they are albino deer that have been spotted. And we've got Francis Skaliski joining us right now, media specialist with the Missouri Department of Conservation. Francis, welcome into the show. How are you?
Glad to be with you guys. I'm doing fine. And I would say, you said they're a problem. No, though they're not a problem. They're just something that happens in Missouri's deer herd, but we'll get to that. So
freaky.
Not a problem. Just
unless you see one.
Something very unusual. I mean, I'm a deer hunter. I've been hunting deer for years and years. I know Annie's husband hunts deer over in Illinois a lot. I've never seen one, so they must be fairly rare. Tell us what we're dealing with here.
Well, it's just a genetic condition in deer where they lack melanin, and the gene that gives them color, the body component that gives them color. They're somewhere between 1 in 20,000 and 1 in 30,000 deer are albinos. Our figures, by our, I say in Missouri, we say 1 in 30,000. I've actually did a little research in other states. There's some numbers that say 1 in 20,000, but whatever fraction you use, it's pretty rare. However, when you have over a million deer in Missouri, which we do get reports of albino deer on a somewhat regular basis. And by say somewhat, I have a woman in here down here in Southwest Missouri where I work, and she has sworn me to secrecy, but she has shown me photos. She too has an albino deer around her place. So this particular one, what you're referencing, that was seen near Marshfield, and it was actually has been seen several times since last fall. You know, if they can reach adulthood, they seem to live somewhat normal lives. And why I say if, the biggest problem an albino, any animal has, deer, because albinism happens in all types of wildlife, and the biggest problem they have is hiding. They're obviously more prone to predation because they're more easily seen by predators. But if they can make it to adulthood, they seem to live somewhat normal lives, and you know, they're just an unusual deer. So
Francis is Annie Fry. Is there any special protection that is offered to albino deer? Or is if you come into contact one and you're out hunting and it's hunting season, fire away?
No, in Missouri, no, there's no special like hunting protection. There's two schools of thought with that, Annie. Is number on the one hand, you have people who think this is a very unique deer in the wild. I love to see it in the wild. From a hunting standpoint, there's another thought that this would be a once-in-a-lifetime harvest. I mean, it's not every time you have a chance to harvest an albino deer that would make a very unique taxidermy mount. Both of them are equally right, as long as you have the proper permits and everything like that to hunt a deer, you're allowed to take an albino deer. But it's just like I say, it's just where your schools of thought are in regards to albino deer, and both are equally correct. Like I say, it's just where you fall in whether you want to hunt it and have a unique trophy, or whether you would like to see it out on the landscape. Either way is correct. It's just your personal preference.
Yeah. What are you doing, Mark?
What am I doing?
Would you shoot it?
Oh, I'd shoot it. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean,
and are you doing the whole taxidermy thing, or are you just having?
Well, I mean, it would depend.
Stew.
I mean, maybe that's one case where it's unusual enough that you'd.
Well, you're shocked as soon as you see it.
You'd mount it even if it was a doe. Normally, you're mounting a head with a rack on it.
Yeah, it's real sexist.
Well, yeah, sure. But that
might
be
deer patriarchy.
It's unusual enough. Somebody might even do a full body mount on one like that. I would.
I've seen one. Driving back from Florida, I saw one in Georgia in the middle of the night, and it freaks you out.
Yeah, I gotta imagine that's gonna sit with you in the bottom of your stomach for just a minute.
It looks like a Harry Potter.
I will say in various Native American cultures,
yeah.
I mean, white deer, white buffalo, white albinos of any type of wildlife, they seem to have a certain stature, a certain mystical meaning to them.
Yeah.
Well, they don't have that, but, they're just a different looking type of deer. And as I said, when it... As opposed to the hunting aspect, that is just your personal preference. And there's hunters that say, I'd rather have another deer. So it's just all about preference. As long as you have, as I said, the proper permits, and you're hunting on an area where you have, if it's on private property, you have the permission to be there. It's legal harvest, and it's just up to the hunter's preference.
Francis Skaliski, our guest from the Missouri Department of Conservation. I have to tell this story because when you have albinism is what you called it, correct?
Right, albinism. Yep.
Generally speaking, the eyes are different as well. Sometimes
the eyes
are pink
or red.
Right. Yes. Eyes are pink.
When I was growing up in Southern Ohio, I had an uncle that had a farm, and he loved to go raccoon hunting. Uh-huh. He had dogs. He had coon dogs, and he would go hunting. He captured several albino raccoons near his home.
He stuffed those?
And he stuffed them. He mounted them, right, on logs, and he had them sitting around his house. And I specifically remember as a child...
Nightmares?
...being afraid to get up and go to the bathroom in the middle of the night because those things were
inside your soul when you were trying to pee as a little child.
I know. It's true. I was terrified of them when I was little.
That's truly an interesting wildlife story.
Yeah, thank you. He had at least two of them. I remember seeing that. So from the Department of Conservation's point of view, you guys, because a lot of these deer get tagged in person in certain counties, does the state keep track of the number that are harvested every year? Do you know if there was one or two harvested last year?
No, we don't. We don't keep track. Like if it is an albino deer, if it's a melanistic deer, which would be all black, that's another genetic condition that some of them have. We don't make any special note of it. As I said, Missouri numbers somewhere around 1 in 30,000. But as I've also said, I don't mean to meddle you with fractions, but I just did want to throw out there, if you get on Google, there are some sites that say albinism occur in deer 1 in 20,000. And as I said, whatever fraction you use, 1 in 20,000, 1 in 30,000, it's
rare.
Pretty rare. But back to your question, no, we don't make any special kind of notation for it because it's a legal harvest. So that's kind of where our classification of that deer ends. So
if my husband comes home with this thing, I'm looking it on Google. It is
right.
It can go in the freezer, but that's the only place in our house that it's not getting on the wall or anything.
Are they okay to eat?
Right, and I was going to say that for the same, you know, like a deer that has an unusual rack or an enormously large set of antler points, we don't make any special notation of that either. You know, when the deer is checked in or anything like that, the hunter who wants to make notation of it, that's fine. We love that people are this fascinated and this interested in deer in Missouri, but our classification ends of it. It kind of ends with the process. It's a legal harvest. You know, congratulations on your legal harvest, and that's it. But I will add one thing that I was getting back to. The deer you're referencing is a deer that was seen near Marshfield. And as I said, it was seen several times beginning last fall. I did a story about it with a local TV station. This other deer that I keep referencing, it's a woman from our church, and she's been showing me pictures of it. And she has said, "You're not going to tell them about my deer, are you?" So, and I said, no, I didn't think you'd want it to mention, because, as I said, she has shown me pictures. It's and the more I talk about it, the more I'm going to leak out where it's at. Well, all I'm going to say is in Southwest Missouri. So and why I bring it up is in all seriousness, yes, they are rare, but at least for the moment, I know of two albino deer that are here in Southwest Missouri. Mm-hmm. So they do happen.
Have you heard if they're okay to eat?
They should be just as, you know, normal venison, prepared like you would any other venison, and they should be fine. So
a little bit of white sauce, I guess you'd want to use it.
I knew it would either be white sauce, white wine, something like that. I knew there was some comment that was just waiting to be said.
From a distance, they're very majestic looking.
Oh, sure.
Like a Patronus
in
Harry Potter.
Some of these are up close, and I'm not feeling it. It's looking into your soul, kind of like those raccoons.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, they very much would be like that. Well, that's very nice. Listen, Francis Skaliski, thank you for filling us in on that. I don't think anybody's going to be driving around Springfield looking for that albino deer, but we appreciate you giving us some time.
I didn't say it was in Springfield.
Yeah, he gave a whole quadrant of the state of Missouri. Could be anywhere.
See, you're trying to get me in trouble with someone from church.
It's Joplin.
I would never do that.
What kind of church? Yeah.
Yeah, what denomination are you?
Oh, Francis, thank you so much.
See, that's where I am. So, you're welcome, guys. Have a good day.
Yeah, take care of yourself.
Bye-bye.
All right. Bye.
Yeah, absolutely. You got to have a little bit of fun with it, right? I mean, that's good. I'd shoot it if I saw one. If it was pretty good size.
It's radio. They can't see you, but you were grinning ear to ear when you immediately said yes, you'd shoot it.
Absolutely.
Yes. There's excitement in your eyes.
Here's something you need to learn, Annie. When I go deer hunting, the deer are at a distinct advantage. I haven't harvested one in a year and a half, so the deer would have a decent chance of getting away. Let's put it that way. All right. Hey, coming up, we are going to switch gears here a little bit. We're going to talk to my friend Richard Pearson. He's the executive director at the Illinois Rifle Association, and they have always got challenges going on with different gun control measures in the state of Illinois. That's coming up on Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Louder! Ghostbusters! Who you gonna call?
Ghostbusters! Who can you call? Anything you can do, I can do better. I can do anything better than you.
Oh, you can.
Yes, I can.
Oh, you can.
Yes, I can.
Oh, you can.
Yes, I can. Yes, I can.
Anything you can be.
In honor of our guest host today, Annie Fry. How about that?
Is this us?
Yes.
I love it.
I love it. Absolutely.
It's actually from Annie Get Your Gun.
Yeah.
Which you've probably had your entire life being told about.
I have not as much Annie Get Your Gun as Annie the Musical.
Right.
Carol Burnett. Wonderful, wonderful movie. But Annie Get Your Gun, I've heard that a few times.
Didn't you used to have a segment on your show called Annie Get Your Gun?
That was something I did before I had a show.
Oh, okay.
It was when I got my first gun.
I remember that. I for some reason, that stuck in my
brain.
Annie
got her gun.
She did indeed.
Shield 40.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, by the way, we want to introduce Richard Pearson right now, executive director at the Illinois Rifle Association. I've had him on a lot over the years to talk about different gun issues over there in the state of Illinois. Richard, how are you?
All right. How are you this morning?
I'm doing fine. Great to get you on here. Mark Cox here, along with Annie Fry. And we are constantly looking at the gun laws in Missouri and Illinois and how they affect people. And, you know, I think the last time you and I talked, we were discussing changes in the FOID card laws.
Yes.
Where does that stand these days?
Well, I think they have been mostly changed. There's still some things going on. We're now getting members who have concealed carry permits are now getting one card. And it says it's a FOID card. It says ICCL up in the right-hand corner. So it serves as both cards, and which is convenient because you don't have to carry two cards that way.
Yeah.
And they are coming out quite rapidly right now. There's still a backlog, but they're still rapidly coming out. But they're still getting quite a few applications in because of what's going on in the world, I'm sure. And so they're getting along with the process. The one part of the law that is not implemented yet is if you buy a new firearm in the state of Illinois, your FOID card would automatically be renewed for 10 years. And that has not been put in effect yet, probably this fall or later, I would think.
Yeah. I'm guessing they probably all also figured out a way to finagle more money out of you when you do that.
Yeah, actually, no.
No?
we actually...
We're not supposed to talk about that, Mark. You're not supposed to bring that up.
No kidding.
Well, what happens is, that, you know, it's a fundamental right. And so we caught them on charging for a fundamental right. And so now there are certain parts of that that there's no charge for now. So
it's about time.
Well, I know it took, what, 40 years, 50
yeah,
years?
Yeah, I mean, I know I'm preaching to the choir here, Richard, but, I you know, being a Missouri resident, it's baffling to me that you have a Second Amendment right to own a firearm, but in Illinois, you have to...
We have a lot of those, Mark.
You have to first go get a card before you can go to a store and get a background check to buy a gun.
Well, that is still in court. We haven't settled that yet. That's actually called the Brown case. And it has been before the Illinois Supreme Court. All arguments are in, and we're just sort of sitting around waiting for the court to decide what they're going to decide. And it's a hot issue because if the Brown case goes our way, that means that FOID cards will not be constitutional in the home. And if they're not constitutional in the home, they're pretty much worthless.
Richard, I live in Illinois and have all my whole life, and I have so many people who are connected to me. I have my concealed and carry license myself, of course, obviously have the FOID card as well. But especially through COVID, it's like the whole thing came to a screeching halt. And my understanding was that in some cases, if your documents, your ID cards expired in the last certain amount of time, that they just said they're just going to have a moratorium on those expirations. What's
right.
the case right now with the expirations on these things?
Well, that's a really good question. The rule was, the executive order was, that it would go be 12 months beyond when the COVID pandemic would be over.
What's
but
that?
I haven't figured out if it's over or not over. I mean, we don't know.
It'll depend on the election cycle. I'll just put that
yep. Exactly.
Well, it depends on the governor, probably, right? Because Anthony Fauci declared it over the other day. But I'm sure Governor Pritzker
disagrees. no one cares what Anthony Fauci says other than Anthony. I
was just going to say, Anthony cares a lot about what Anthony Fauci has to say.
You know, so if he points that little finger at him one more time, I'm going to cut it off.
You got a permit for that?
I do.
Yeah, you probably need a permit to carry a knife over there too, right?
Actually, no, you don't. We did pass the switchblade rule, so we have switchblades back in Illinois now, so that's finally over with for a couple of years.
Wow.
But so we have all this going on, and they're working hard to catch up on the concealed carry permits. And so I judge a lot of this by the number of people who call and complain. And so I haven't had really any complaints lately other than people saying they're getting their cards in the mail and that sort of thing. So, you know, during the COVID, by the way, they told all most of the state employees, including state police employees, to go home. So that's one of the things that happened. They were not able to issue FOID cards at home. So there were people working at home, but the staff fell to about 50% of normal, and so it was bad, you know.
Well, bad, and considering the fact that nationally we seem to set records every month for background checks, so you know the number of weapons being sold is only increasing. I wonder how they deal with that backlog in Illinois. If you've got to go wait on getting your card to get it renewed or whatever the case may be before you can go to the store to buy a gun, what's it doing to retailers over there?
Well, I think retailers are actually doing pretty well. I'm sure there's some that are not doing well, but there's some that are doing very, very well because the supplies are up. But you got to remember that in those background checks, you go through a FOID card background check every night if you're a FOID card holder.
Yeah.
So that's what drives those numbers up. But they're not, they're misleading. And the same is true if you have a concealed carry permit. So, Annie, you got both, right?
Yes, I do.
Well, I'm comforted that you go through two background checks every night. I was kind of worried about you, but I feel better now.
Well, lots of people are worried about me. I probably need more identification than just those two.
I think so, too. Probably another ID card would be good. Let's propose it.
I'm always watching what they're going to come up with next in Illinois. You know, I know the national argument has been about ghost guns. I saw where in the state of Illinois they've now banned the sale of ghost guns in Illinois. Is this?
Well, they haven't exactly banned the sale. They have to be serialized.
Okay.
But it's not clear on how all that is to be done yet. And the Illinois State Rifle Association is looking into court cases that deal with that, because the law is extraordinarily vague and who knows what, you know.
Yeah.
You can expect us to at least probing the possibility of a court case on that law.
Good. I'm glad to hear that. I mean, we're talking about something that is got to be such a small percentage of the problem, but it sounds scary.
Yeah, the handguns that are ravaging Chicago right now are not ghost guns.
No, they're not.
That's not the cause of crime there.
No. Well, they're mostly stolen or illegally purchased. There might be one or two legal ones in the process someplace or other, but the fact is that they are illegal. Ghost guns actually make, are you ready for this, 0.036% of the crime in Chicago.
0.036. I mean, here's the thing about it, Richard. Maybe you agree or disagree with me, but I mean, I'm a car enthusiast. I love my cars, but I couldn't build one, right? Mm-hmm. I'd have to go buy one.
Mm-hmm.
With guns, you can buy an 80, 90% lower that's got a serial number on it off the internet, and you can buy the barrel and you can try to put it all together, but you still have to have that lower shipped to an FFL holder and have a background check done before you buy it. And then there are the kits you can buy, which are just empty shells of a frame for a gun. Then you have to buy all the parts and put it together. Those are the ghost guns they're talking about. You have to have milling equipment. You have to know what you're doing to build one of these. I just can't envision criminals anywhere taking the time to do that.
You think that the criminals in Chicago are not running underground factories with their tools, knowing calculus, geometry, all that kind of stuff?
Come on.
These are very educated criminals we have here. The whole thing's ludicrous. It's crazy. But it's the reason that they want serialized guns is because they want to register them. That is what's going on there.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, Richard, I have a question. When it comes to crime, we see down here in Southern Illinois, when state politics are discussed, crime is always really high on the list, if not the first thing that a lot of people on the Republican side of the aisle will issue as like the main issue on the taxpayer, the voter's mind in the state of Illinois. But that really does seep out of Chicago, because downstate Illinois, a lot of us are probably packing heat with a little more frequency than maybe the people up north are. And we have concerns that are outside of just the crime issues. I'm curious how much of Chicago crime actually seeps into how we have state laws when it comes to all of the restrictions and the regulations on
anything you can do. I can do better. I can do anything better than you.
Oh, you can.
Yes, I can.
Oh, you can.
Yes, I can.
Oh, you can.
Yes, I can. Yes, I can.
Anything you can be.
In honor of our guest host today, Annie Fry. How about that?
Is this us?
Yes.
I love it.
I love it. Absolutely.
It's actually from Annie, Get Your Gun.
Yeah.
Which you've probably had your entire life being told about.
I have not as much Annie, Get Your Gun as Annie the Musical.
Right.
Carol Burnett. Wonderful, wonderful movie. But Annie, Get Your Gun, I've heard that a few times.
Didn't you used to have a segment on your show called Annie, Get Your Gun?
That was something I did before I had a show.
Oh, okay.
It was when I got my first gun.
I remember that. I for some reason, that stuck in my
Annie
brain.
Annie got her gun.
She did indeed.
Shield 40.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, by the way, we want to introduce Richard Pearson right now, executive director at the Illinois Rifle Association. I've had him on a lot over the years to talk about different gun issues over there in the state of Illinois. Richard, how are you?
All right. How are you this morning?
I'm doing fine. Great to get you on here. Mark Cox here, along with Annie Fry. And we are constantly looking at the gun laws in Missouri and Illinois and how they affect people. And, you know, I think the last time you and I talked, we were discussing changes in the FOID card laws.
Yes.
Where does that stand these days?
Well, I think they have been mostly changed. There's still some things going on. We're now getting members who have concealed carry permits are now getting one card. And it says it's a FOID card. It says ICCL up in the right-hand corner. So it serves as both cards, and which is convenient because you don't have to carry two cards that way.
Yeah.
And they are coming out quite rapidly right now. There's still a backlog, but they're still rapidly coming out. But they're still getting quite a few applications in because of what's going on in the world, I'm sure. And so they're getting along with the process. The one part of the law that is not implemented yet is if you buy a new firearm in the state of Illinois, your FOID card would automatically be renewed for 10 years. And that has not been put in effect yet, probably this fall or later, I would think.
Yeah. I'm guessing they probably all also figured out a way to finagle more money out of you when you do that.
Yeah, actually, no.
No?
we actually...
We're not supposed to talk about that, Mark. You're not supposed to bring that up.
No kidding.
what happens is, that, you know, it's a fundamental right. And so we caught them on charging for a fundamental right. And so now there are certain parts of that there's no charge for now. So
it's about time.
Well, I know it took, 40 years, 50 years?
Yeah, I'm preaching to the choir here, Richard, but to being a Missouri resident, it's baffling to me that you have a Second Amendment right to own a firearm, but in Illinois, you have to...
We have a lot of those, Mark.
You have to first go get a card before you can go to a store and get a background check to buy a gun.
Well, that is still in court. We haven't settled that yet. That's actually called the Brown case, and it has been before the Illinois Supreme Court. All arguments are in, and we're just sort of sitting around waiting for the court to decide what they're going to decide. And it's a hot issue because if the Brown case goes our way, that means that FOID cards will not be constitutional in the home. And if they're not constitutional in the home, they're pretty much worthless.
Richard, I live in Illinois and have all my whole life, and I have so many people who are connected to me. I have my concealed and carry license myself, of course, obviously have the FOID card as well. But especially through COVID, it's like the whole thing came to a screeching halt. And my understanding was that in some cases, if your documents, your ID cards expired in the last certain amount of time, that they just said they're just going to have a moratorium on those expirations. What's the case right now with the expirations on these things?
Well, that's a really good question. The rule was, the executive order was, that it would go be 12 months beyond when the COVID pandemic would be over.
What's
but
that?
I haven't figured out if it's over or not over. I mean, we don't know.
It'll depend on the election cycle. I'll just put that in.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, it depends on the governor, probably, right? Because Anthony Fauci declared it over the other day. But I'm sure Governor Pritzker disagrees.
No one cares what Anthony Fauci says other than Anthony. I was just going to say,
Anthony cares a lot about what Anthony Fauci has to say.
You know, so if he points that little finger at him one more time, I'm going to cut it off.
You got a permit for that?
I do.
Yeah, you probably need a permit to carry a knife over there, too, right?
Actually, no, you don't. We did pass the switchblade rule, so we have switchblades back in Illinois now, so that's finally over with for a couple of years.
Wow.
But so we have all this going on, and they're working hard to catch up on the concealed carry permits. And so I judge a lot of this by the number of people who call and complain. And so I haven't had really any complaints lately other than people saying they're getting their cards in the mail and that sort of thing. So, you know, during the COVID, by the way, they told all the most of the state employees, including state police employees, to go home. So that's one of the things that happened. They were not able to issue FOID cards at home. So there were people working at home, but the staff fell to about 50% of normal, and so it was bad, you know.
Well, bad, and considering the fact that nationally we seem to set records every month for background checks, so you know the number of weapons being sold is only increasing. I wonder how they deal with that backlog in Illinois. If you've got to go wait on getting your card to get it renewed or whatever the case may be before you can go to the store to buy a gun, what's it doing to retailers over there?
Well, I think retailers are actually doing pretty well. I'm sure there's some that are not doing well, but there's some that are doing very, very well because the supplies are up. But you got to remember that in those background checks, you go through a FOID card background check every night if you're a FOID card holder.
Yeah.
So that's what drives those numbers up. But they're not, they're misleading. And the same is true if you have a concealed carry permit. So, Annie, you got both, right?
Yes, I do.
Well, I'm comforted that you go through two background checks every night. I was kind of worried about you, but I feel better now.
Well, lots of people are worried about me. I probably need more identification than just those two.
I think so, too. Probably another ID card would be good. Let's propose it.
I'm always watching what they're going to come up with next in Illinois. You know, I know the national argument has been about ghost guns. I saw where in the state of Illinois they've now banned the sale of ghost guns in Illinois.
They haven't exactly banned the sale. They have to be serialized.
Okay.
But it's not clear on how all that is to be done yet. And the Illinois State Rifle Association is looking into court cases that deal with that because the law is extraordinarily vague and who knows what, you know.
Yeah.
You can expect us to at least probing the possibility of a court case on that law.
Good. I'm glad to hear that. I mean, we're talking about something that is got to be such a small percentage of the problem, but it sounds scary.
Yeah, the handguns that are ravaging Chicago right now are not ghost guns.
No, they're not.
That's not the cause of crime there.
No. Well, they're mostly stolen or illegally purchased. There might be one or two legal ones in the process someplace or other, but the fact is that they are illegal. Ghost guns actually make, are you ready for this, 0.036% of the crime in Chicago.
0.036. I mean, that. Here's the thing about it, Richard. Maybe you agree or disagree with me, but I mean, I'm a car enthusiast. I love my cars, but I couldn't build one, right? Mm-hmm. I'd have to go buy one.
Mm-hmm.
With guns, you can buy an 80-90% lower
that's got a serial number on it off the internet, and you can buy the barrel and you can try to put it all together, but you still have to have that lower shipped to an FFL holder and have a background check done before you buy it. And then there are the kits you can buy, which are just empty shells of a frame for a gun. Then you have to buy all the parts and put it together. Those are the ghost guns they're talking about. You have to have milling equipment. You have to know what you're doing to build one of these. I just can't envision criminals anywhere taking the time to do that.
You think that the criminals in Chicago are not running underground factories with their tools, knowing calculus, geometry, all that kind of stuff?
Come on.
Oh, come yeah. on. You know, these are very educated criminals we have here. So, the whole thing's ludicrous. It's crazy. But it's the reason that they want serialized guns is because they want to register them. That is what's going on there.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, Richard, I have a question. When it comes to crime, we see down here in Southern Illinois, when state politics are discussed, crime is always really high on the list, if not the first thing that a lot of people on the Republican side of the aisle will issue as like the main issue on the taxpayer, the voter's mind in the state of Illinois. But that really does seep out of Chicago because downstate Illinois, a lot of us are probably packing heat with a little more frequency than maybe the people up north are. And we have concerns that are outside of just the crime issues. I'm curious how much of Chicago crime actually seeps into how we have state laws when it comes to all of the restrictions and the regulations on our Second Amendment rights as Illinois residents.
Well, it has a big effect on those laws, because if you look at any law that these people have passed, over the protests of people in Southern Illinois, both Republicans and Democrats, mm-hmm. is that they're actually attacking law-abiding gun owners about a crime issue that law-abiding gun owners have nothing to do with.
Right.
Trying to pass more laws that criminals are going to also not follow.
Right. I am shocked. I thought they would read the law every day and say, oh, my God. We got to stop murdering people. We got to stop selling drugs. We didn't know it was illegal, but apparently not.
It's not the way it works.
No, I'm not surprised at all. Just like taxation and everything else, right? I mean, a lot of that stuff flows from Chicago down the pike.
What's the next big battle for you guys in Illinois looking ahead, Richard?
Well, there's a couple things that we're looking at. One is the combining of the boards of the Floyd Card Appeal Board and the ICCL Appeal Board. They both now have boards, but we are looking at that law. We're not necessarily opposed to that board as long as it works, but like the ICCL board, that doesn't work. So if it doesn't work, why have it?
Right.
You know, and so the way the law reads now, the superintendent of the Illinois State Police makes all these, handles all the appeals on Floyd cards that people have been rejected or whatever. Well, there's no possible way one human being can do that, particularly the governor, because the law specifies the governor. So there needs to be another way to do it. But if there's going to be another way to do it, let's at least make it work right. You know? I know it's unusual for something in Illinois to work right, but we're going to take a shot at it.
It's great.
You got time for one more question for me?
Yeah, go ahead. Sure.
Richard, you know, I recently purchased four 22s of different likes. And one of the main reasons was we want to get our kids educated and comfortable knowing how to be around guns and how to fire guns. And when I am talking to other people in the state of Illinois who are around me, family members who maybe have not been exposed to guns, but are, as you said earlier in this conversation, you know, there are people, and business is booming in Illinois. Unfortunately, the crazier things go, that's usually good for the gun shops. What's your suggestion? Because there are so many barriers between somebody, maybe a mom, thinking, you know, I'd like to be able to level the playing field if I'm home with my kids and something happens here and my husband's gone. I'd like to be able to handle myself and protect my family. But Illinois has all these regulations in place and there's so many hoops that you have to jump through. Give some first steps to those people who might not be exposed to it yet, but need to be as far as doing that in the state of Illinois?
Well, the for anyone, including ladies, single ladies, whatever it turns out to be, or single men for that matter, the first thing you do if you don't know anything about them is to go get a basic firearms course. And learning about firearms is like building a concrete block house. You have to start with the first concrete block and keep going, or the house won't be completed. So you can't possibly know everything the first time around. I have a student that's long gone from my tutelage, but I started her out very basically, and right now she has just completed her 10th firearms course.
Wow. Nice.
This was a woman who was taken captive, beaten, strangled, and all the other stuff for 2 days. And so she was timid, afraid, and that doesn't mean that she's not – that means now that she's not timid and afraid. It doesn't mean she's not cautious.
Sure.
Right.
But anyway.
She's prepared. That's fantastic. It's good advice. Richard Pearson, listen, always great having you on here on Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors, and thank you for all you do over there in the state of Illinois for Second
Amendment. Well, if you're from the state of Illinois and getting this broadcast, please join, because it takes a lot of people to fight these crazy things.
Yeah, that's true. What's the website? Can you tell us?
www.isra.org.
ISRA.org. Excellent. Richard, thank you so much for your time today.
All right. Nice talking to you.
Yeah. We'll have you on again soon. We appreciate that. Always good to get Richard on here. It's good stuff. Good advice. Annie, thank you so much for being part of the show today.
It's been a pleasure.
We love that.
I'm going to work on lowering my voice next time I go back
to Bo Matthews.
I'll just seamlessly fit in.
Next time Mark's not here, you could fill in for Bo.
I
love this. You just bought 4 guns?
Mm-hmm.
That's outstanding. Mm-hmm. You handed one to each of the kids and training them, or what are you doing here? Molly's a little young, isn't she?
A couple of the kids. Never too early to start.
That's right.
She can't walk.
She can't walk yet, but yeah. We're going to hand her a gun. That's fantastic.
Yeah. It's been fun, and you know, like I've said, their experience with them has been interesting and eye-opening, and they've enjoyed it.
Good for you. That's fantastic. Well, listen, we appreciate you filling in this week.
Thank you.
Bo Matthews will be back with us next week for the next episode of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Carl, thank you.
You're welcome. Pew,
we'll
pew.
See you next week. See you, boys.
See you, boys.
No, you can.
Yes, can.
Again.
Yes, can.
Again.
Yes, can.
Again.
Yes, can.
Again. Again.
Yes,
again.
Yes,
again.
Yes,
again.
Yes,
again.
Yes,
again.
Yes,
again.
Yes, again.
Get more at 97.1talk.com.